Hello, and welcome to Highly Irregular, the podcast with no right angle. Think of it like a lovely slice of bread, smooth garlic butter tickling your nostrils as you look down upon it. On top, some grilled mushrooms, sautéed prawns, and a dollop of crème fraîche. There are some leaves, too, that look a little too much like that bush outside the window. The dressing smells like toffee. Are those hundreds and thousands? What else is in here? You're not sure what this is meant to be, but it definitely isn't what you ordered. You look up to signal the waiter, only to find that you're completely alone. Just you and your meal. Try as you might, you can't look away from it. You see your hands, as if controlled by someone else, pick it up and pull it towards your mouth. And then, for some reason, you eat it. And now, on our Slices of Life series, one man trying to do what no man has done before.
3 years!
What's that?
3 years I've been training for today, for this moment.
Well, today's the day. Are you excited?
Excited? Bloody Nora! I can't even begin to tell you.
Meet Keith, a 35-year-old bank clerk from Southampton. And aspiring world record holder.
I'm 35 years old, I'm from Southampton, and my name is Keith. I'm a bank clerk, and today I'm going to try and break a world record.
Well, it all looks pretty normal in the house, so where are we doing this?
Oh no, not inside, I've got it all set up in the garden.
I see.
How did I get into it?
Oh, I guess it was when I was a kid. My mom had this set of crockery she adored. And, well, I thought it would be funny to prank her by walking into the room, balancing one of her nice saucers on my head. As expected, she freaked out, but I didn't drop it. And, you know, I realised I'm quite good at balancing things on my head, actually. She didn't find it funny, but since I was grounded for a month afterwards, I just kept practicing for a while. Then a few years back, my mum reminded me of that time and I thought, why did I ever stop doing that? I could do something really big with this.
And here we are.
And here we are.
Okay, is it time to go to the garden then?
Oh, I think it is.
All right, lead on, Keith.
Outside in the garden, the stage is set, everything is in place. All that's left to do is for Keith to work his magic.
Okay, are you ready?
Give me a second just to, get a bit of composure.
All right, well, listeners, Keith is just preparing himself now, and in a moment, it will be the moment as he attempts to smash the world record of 53 saucers balanced on one forehead.
How many?
53 saucers, that's the official world record.
What?
Off, it's not. Well, I'm afraid it is.
There is no way it's more than 20. Tops. How am I possibly supposed to balance 53 saucers on my bloody head? You're a liar. You're a lying liar. There's no way. There's no way. Get out of my house.
It says right. Look, I can show you.
What, in your book of lies? Is that who sent you? The Guinness Book of Lies?
That's not what it's called.
You want 53 plates? Here's your bloody plates.
Ugh. Oh my God.
Have another one. Get out.
Get out of here!
Get out!
Oh, okay, I'm going!
Get out!
All right!
Oh, 53! No, my eye mother was right! I never should have passed!
Your Highness, the Lords of Wessex send word.
What do they want?
They request most humbly if they may delay their next payment to the crown, for the harvest was not kind. In return, they pledge 50 extra men in the spring to take arms in your upcoming battles.
50? Pah! Tell that pathetic man Robert I'll be taking his wife if he doesn't pay up.
Your Highness, are you sure? Tensions are already high with the...
Enough! I tire of these politics. Send in my jester.
As you wish. Your Highness, the jester has arrived.
Hurrah!
Greetings! Greetings, Windsor! How wondrous to be here on this day! How wondrous, how wondrous! Pray tell me, are you having a good time, Windsor?
Hooray! Yes!
Wondrous indeed it is to be in Windsor, and even more so to have arrived by carriage. Have the pleasant people of this court travelled by carriage?
Yes!
Have the people travelled over the hour of luncheon, perchance?
Aye.
Pray tell me, what was this thing they placed upon my lap? For surely it was not food. Surely it was not. Surely this slop one might just as readily scoop out of a plague doctor's beak after a long day's warding off of pustules be not intended for thy consumption. Welcome back to another session of guided meditation. Imagine yourself gazing out at an open road, winding off into the hills. A car rattles by you, and you're not fazed by the noise. No, imagine flagging down this car. You open the door. Hello, driver. How was your day? Now reach out a hand and pull the driver out of the car. That's it. Imagine throwing this driver to the ground and taking their place at the wheel. You shut the door. And away we go. We're just cruising along the open road in our stolen vehicle, feeling the breeze come in through the window, ruffling your hair, the pine fresh scent of the air freshener hanging from the rearview mirror. Life is good. You look up, and to your right, you see a star. Only one? Well, that won't do. Let's see if we can find some more. Now veer your car off the road and onto the pavement, that's it. And imagine pedestrians coming towards you, or I suppose you're coming towards them, really. It's all relative. And as you hit these pedestrians, they fly away like ragdolls. Don't worry, they're fine. It's all in your imagination. You look up again and to your right, there are three stars. Now we're getting somewhere. And up ahead, imagine you see a line of police cars blocking the road. They're trying to get you to stop, but we're not stopping. A voice echoes inside your head, speaking these strange hieroglyphs that you don't really understand, but at the same time you know are essential to your success. And the voice says, R1, up, left, right. R2, up, right, square, right, L2, L1, L1. And suddenly, your car is now a tank. You point the barrel at the blockade and fire, and a beautiful calming rocket launches from your tank, and boom, away go the police cars. You look up again, five beautiful stars. What a relaxing sight. Hello, Stu Horgan here.
Who?
I'm the imaginary man whose car just got jacked. Yeah, and you thought you were having a bad day. Thanks for listening to episode 3 of Highly Irregular. If you've been with us since the beginning, then that is your hat trick. Congratulations. I'm sure they'll be carving your name into the honours board at Lord's as we speak. I think that's how it works. Now, I actually have an announcement to make. I'm going to be a guest on another podcast. There's a podcast called Water Cooler Talk Podcast, which is a conversation-based comedy news podcast that aims to connect the world through strange and interesting real-life news stories, where the host, Adam Schultz,
has a different guest on each episode, and they pick two bizarre slash strange news stories that are actually true, and just have a conversation about it and see where the conversation goes. And so I will be on the next episode of that, which should be going out on the 23rd of March. I'll share links to it when it's out nearer the time, and so watch out for those, and yeah, check it out if you like. Now, poor Keith at the start of the show had a bit of a hard time trying to break that record, didn't he? But I'd like to know what success stories we've got. What records are you holding? Doesn't have to be a world record, although of course please let me know if you've got a world record. But it could just be a personal best. For example, when I started university, I managed to go four whole nights without any sleep whatsoever. What's my secret, you ask? Being allergic to the bedsheets. So, let me know, what impressive, mundane or downright dubious records do you hold with yourself, your friends, or indeed, maybe, the world? Let me know by email at podirregular@gmail.com or through social media channels, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I've got the handle podlyirregular. And let's showcase some of our finest moments. Now, on to more serious matters. Last episode, I asked a very important question. Is milk and cereal a recipe? Well, it's time to find out. Ed says, milk and cereal must be a recipe. Otherwise, they wouldn't have to put a picture on the box to show you how to make it. This raises a further question, though. If pouring something on something else is a recipe, is having a shower the same as having dinner? Well, Ed's not the only one having philosophical nightmares about this. Austin says, the question that has kept me up at night. The question that has made me question what is right and what is wrong. The question that I will change my answer to after I send this in. Milk and cereal can be a recipe, but isn't always a recipe. More often than not, I will lean towards yes. I need to now take a nap because my head hurts. Thanks so much, Austin, and rest easy knowing you've done some sterling work in the field. Kieran says it's a soup. Tom makes the point that if you mix multiple cereals, then you clearly need a recipe for the ratios and timing of the milk pouring. However, a second Tom says that even if it's technically a recipe, it is absolutely not in the spirit of what a recipe is, and it completely runs in the face of the word's connotation. Well, Tom may have a point there, but ultimately, we live in a society, and if that society deems something to be a recipe, then I'm afraid it is. To that end, we must consult the results of the Instagram poll. And it was a decisive victory for yes, with 71% of the votes. So that's official. Milk and cereal is a recipe. Society has spoken. One last important point from Tom's friend Tony that many of us may have missed is that we've been assuming that the cereal has been made for us. But what if that's not the case? What if we have to make the cereal from scratch? I think we can all agree in that case, it's definitely a recipe. Well, that's about it from me. Please do subscribe or tell your friends if you're enjoying the podcast. And remember that there's also a YouTube channel, Highly Irregular Podcast, where you can listen again to all of the songs, including one that is about to come up after the break. So that's very useful if you want to listen to them again without having to scroll through an episode. Also very useful if you're at a party and you wouldn't really mind being kicked out and someone passes you the aux cord. Before I hand you back, it's just time for a quick word from our sponsors. First up, sponsoring us this episode is a new board game from Nobro Entertainment in collaboration with OPEC, Shakes and Vladders. Will you get your opponents over a barrel or come to a sticky end in this brand new game in which you try and raise the price of oil to reach the top of the board? The game is simple. Take turns to roll a single six-sided die, and if you get a number between 1 and 6, you can move up that many dollars on the price per barrel board. But watch out. Roll a 7, and the international community will finally hold you to account for your blatant human rights abuses. That's Shakes and Vladders. Also sponsoring this episode is the Lava Lamp. This beautiful lamp can light up any room in your home. But that's not all. At the start of the next lunar cycle, it will spin itself into a cocoon, where it lays dormant for 2 to 3 weeks before emerging as a fully fledged fly lamp. It's a 2-for-1. Don't miss out. Get your lava lamp today. Oh, right. Lunchtime, I reckon. Want me to get you anything? Meal deal, perhaps?
Thank you, Billy, but no. I'm never getting another meal deal
for as long as I live.
Oh, right, okay. Why's that?
For crisps, Billy. They're not safe for a workplace environment.
What could possibly make you say that? They're just crisps.
No, you don't understand, Billy. You know, I didn't always work here. I was going places. I was the next big thing. And then I flew too close to the sun. I reached my hand too deep into the crisp packet, and I got burned.
Oh, God, this is another convoluted lead-up to a song, isn't it? I'm off to get some lunch.
I'm a successful businessman, but sometimes things, they just don't go to plan. Our big new client came to town. Right after lunch is when the deal goes down. I had my sandwich as I sat inside, going over my slides, getting memorized. I know I can't afford to mess this up. Gotta get my cut, gotta close it up. But I didn't think to check the clock. I tucked into my crisps as the hour struck. I turned around and there he was, Mr. Big Shot. And as he strode across the room, he looked much taller than on Zoom, and all the blood went from my head as I heard the words he said.
Of your work, I'm a big fan. Can't wait to see what you have planned. It is such a pleasure to finally meet you and shake your hand.
But I just laid the crisp dust off all my fingers and thumbs. My mama always said that you should wash your hands, but I guess I never took my time to understand. I licked the crisp dust off all my fingers and thumbs. And now I'm covered headed in a sticky spot. Hey Gary Lineker, thanks a lot.
His hand to me, I'm contemplating rapidly. I wish that there was someone here to manage me, but no, I gotta come up with a strategy to stop this all from happening. If my hands wet or when they come together, that's the enemy. How can I prevent this man from feeling all the salt and the spit and the crumbs from the end of my lunch on my thumbs and still save this interaction? Help my business gain traction, man, my future's on the line. I gotta spring into action. Maybe I should go French and kiss him on the cheeks, assure him I've been speaking with this accent all these weeks, or act like I don't recognize it. No, he'll think I despise it. A bag of salt and vinegar's not worth the hurt or cause it. Maybe I should go full cannibal, pretend that I've been bitten by an animal, a loose criminal camel, that I got a rare disease from my contact with this mammal. Now I wanna eat this man, I lost control of my enamel. Now that's insane. Anyone with half a brain could see through all these lies. I guess I gotta come clean.
Sir, I'm afraid I can't shake your hand.
Why not?
Cause I just licked the crisp dust off all my fingers and thumbs. I guess you couldn't see it on the conference calls, but in real life I'm actually gross as balls. I licked the crisp dust off all my fingers and toes, and now I'm more embarrassed than I've ever been. Will you please excuse me while I go and wash my hands?
And the swords? Hast thou seen the swords these young squires are wielding nowadays? Would you take one of these into battle, your highness?
Nay.
Swords? Nay, they are for picking teeth, I say. Or perhaps a sewing needle? If I found one of these in my hand, I wouldn't know whether to stab my opponent or mend the seam on his tunic. Dearest foe, your stitching is come undone. Allow me.
Welcome back to Book Club. We're here for Chapter 3 of No Time to Run by Barry Greenfinger, Celebrity Gardener. In the previous chapter, Hayden Hawke went to Dunorland Park and found the associate of Ivanov Ivanovich, who was posing as a groundsman. After outwitting him with his superior gardening knowledge, he found a briefcase containing the whereabouts of Ivanovich, the drug lord suspected of smuggling in a nuclear weapon to Tunbridge Wells. The case is getting hot, so let's pick up where we left off. No Time to Run, Chapter 3. The briefcase had given Hayden Hawke all the intel he needed. Ivanov Ivanovich was smuggling a nuclear device into Royal Tunbridge Wells. Just the thought of it made Hayden sick.
What kind of monster would want to destroy a town which in 2018 won the Gold Award for the South and Southeast region of Britain in Bloom in the large town category? Luckily, he could still put a stop to it, but he didn't have long. The blueprints to the bomb would be the key to disarming it, and according to the intel, they were being kept at Ivanovich's mansion in nearby Sevenoaks. There was no time to lose. Hayden arrived, not in his stealth Porsche, but in a much more ordinary van. He stepped out in blue overalls and approached the luxury homestead.
"Hello there,"
he heard from somewhere. He turned to his left, and there, nestled in the expansive garden surrounding the property, he saw a raised arm waving to him from behind a hedge. It came around to reveal the figure of a beautiful woman. She was tall, peeking out at him from under a designer Panama hat with long blonde hair that flowed down over her sundress. In her thickly gloved hands, she was capably wielding a pair of secateurs. "Goodness me," he thought. "This is basically my ideal date. If only there was a fancy cocktail in between those gloves instead of the shears." "Good morning," called Hayden. "I'm the new landscaper. Martin. Martin E. To whom do I owe this pleasure?"
Ivan Ivanovich," the woman replied. "And who booked you? I don't think we'd need any landscaping at the moment."
"Why is that?" asked Hayden.
"I just trimmed my bush,"
Yvonne answered coyly. Hayden strode towards her, eyebrow raised. "With those things? In my professional experience, your bush could benefit greatly from a more deft touch. I'm very good with my hands."
"I bet that's what you tell all the customers."
"Maybe it is, but I always get a good review."
Yvonne chuckled. "If my husband was here to see this. Not that he's any help around a garden. He's not so good with his hands."
"Exactly why you need someone like me. Is there anywhere in particular you'd like me to take a look at?"
"Well, Martin, now that you mention it, I was thinking of getting rid of those old flower beds round the back of the house."
"Oh," said Hayden, smirking handsomely. "You'd like me to deflower your, private parts?"
Yvonne leaned forwards, her intoxicating perfume tickling his inner nostril, and whispered,
"I hope you've got a big enough trowel. I'll be upstairs if you need anything."
With that, she sauntered away through the front door, with Hayden watching breathlessly behind her. He mopped his brow and headed round the back. As much as he wanted to take her up on that offer, he forced himself to focus on the task at hand. "Come on, Hay," he thought to himself. "No more distractions. Britain in bloom." After checking for prying eyes, he snuck in through a back window. He found himself in an opulent drawing room, filled with lavish furniture and stuffed animals, a hedgehog above the fireplace, an exotic monkey under the Edwardian lampshade. The only living thing was a small prayer plant in an ancient vase. Wilting and tired, it was showing clear signs of neglect. Hayden cursed under his breath. Just the sort of place you'd expect from a genocidal maniac. He gave the leaves of the plant a quick spray from his pocket spray bottle and moved on to the basement. As promised, here were the blueprints, and on the table next to them, a map of Tunbridge Wells. As he inspected it further, he found an X drawn in a centre, enclosed by a large red circle labelled Blast Radius. He'd have to get that sent back to the lab, he thought. Maybe someone there could make sense of it. Then he noticed something else. In the corner was scrawled a date. Hawk's eyes widened as he read it. It was tomorrow.
Really heating up now, isn't it? Join me next time for the final chapter in this thrilling tale.
And it veers off in a tailspin, falling down and down, round and round, until it smashes into the ground in a beautiful ball of flames. And behind you, you see the fighter jets on your tail. Nothing like a good little dogfight is there, and as you do a barrel roll, you see another squadron racing towards you from the other direction. Well, maybe the law's finally caught up with you, but we had a good run, didn't we? Now it's time to go out with a bang, a blaze of glory. So imagine pressing the button to activate your heat-seeking missiles beneath your wings and prepare for one last manoeuvre.
Right. You're off now then, are you? Fair enough, we've all got lives. Remember where you're going? You forgot to print out the directions, didn't you? Not to worry, I think I remember the way. Exit through the side gate and hop in the nearest vehicle. Use the cul-de-sac to correct your orientation and proceed out the main road. Take a left and follow it down for about 4 miles until you pass the haunted Little Chef, then turn right onto the country lane. Follow the lane... Are you writing this down? Follow the lane until you see a dirt trail coming off it and leading up the hill. Take the trail up the hill, paying no heed to the warning landmine signs. I promise there aren't any. He just doesn't like strangers. When you reach the top of the hill, exit your vehicle. It's best to approach on foot so he can see you're unarmed. Cross the wooden footbridge and ring the right doorbell, then the left one, then knock 4 times. It's very important you get the order right. But you should be fine. Just tell him I sent you. Good luck!
My mother was a Norman, but my father was a Viking. So when I see a new country, I don't know whether to conquer it or pillage it.
Wait, I hate Vikings. Sever his head!
Oh dear.